Oh, the shape up or get. If you've let all the fans down.
Can we not lock this?
It's a fact. I am not playing mind games. I am talking about facts.
I always said if I was Aladicio, they'd probably say I was more of a tactical genius.
The answer questions on anything. Religious, politics, health, you know, sexual problems.
Look at his face! Just look at his face!
None of you, except for those two, have done anything to justify the money that you earn. None of you! Disgrace!
And I suggest you shut up and show more football.
All right, welcome along to Team 33. I'm Raf Giallo. You can always get in touch with us on Twitter. That's at Team 33. We're also on Facebook and also on iTunes. And you can see some of our interviews on YouTube as well. We're going to be doing an interview with Asif Kapadia. So he is the director of Senna, but also his new documentary is Diego Maradona. Fascinating look at Maradona's time in Napoli. So we'll be recording that on Wednesday, myself and Colin Buhig. And then we're going to put that out on the radio on Friday night's show. So this is going to be a shorter show tonight. Ireland are obviously the main thing we're going to be chatting about, but Joe Coffey's on the line.
Raf, good to be here.
I think there's a legal case between the both of us. We can't be in the same room at the same time. This has been the same thing for the last month. So
we must be at least a month apart now at this stage.
Yeah, must be. Between
I'm having withdrawal symptoms, Raf.
Oh well, look, Kieran Bradley is here as well. He's allowed in the same room as me at the moment.
Hi, Raf.
Yeah. So, Joe, you didn't catch last night's Ireland game, I presume.
Well, Raf, it's not really a case that I didn't catch it. I actually just made a decision not to watch it.
Wise man.
It would appear it was the correct decision.
I think you were saying you were watching something on HBO, which is far better.
I was watching Chernobyl, and it was a wise move. It was nothing against the Irish football team. It's just that, like, I mean, at the end of the day, when it's Ireland versus Gibraltar, it's very hard to get excited for that. And particularly if we were to base, if I was to base my opinion on the original game a few months back.
Yeah, that was on a bad pitch. But now, spoiler alert, and Kieran Bradley has seen it and he will deliver the spoiler now. It wasn't much better at the Aviva.
Yeah, it was. It's hard to know really how to get. You know what to pull out of this game, really, because it was really quite poor. I mean, Ireland had something like 29 shots, or well, say something like that. That's how many they had, and very few of them had any real intent. This was a Gibraltar side that didn't really come to play, but at the same time, Ireland managed to make them look like they were sort of decent on the counter attack. They, you know, they had a shot on target last night, and I just thought that was remarkable, really. But it's just the fact that they play on such rigid lines, Ireland, and, like, you know, you're always doing the same thing. You're always looking for an overlap, you know, or a kind of sideways pass. And it was a little bit uninspiring. I don't know about you, Raf.
I was not inspired whatsoever. I did the player ratings. I think it was a bit more generous than, like, some of the people who were tweeting in were giving out about me probably giving a couple of sevens, which may be undeserved, a lot of sixes and a couple of fives as well. I don't know, you know, I'm not a harsh person. I could have dropped it down a point each, but no, it wasn't great. The only thing I'm kind of interested in is actually the reaction.
Just on that, Raf, I actually thought the most interesting reaction over the weekend was from Didi Hamann after the Denmark game, where he said that actually it was one of the first times watching Ireland where he felt a sense of that Ireland are in awe of other teams. Yeah, that they don't feel that they can go to certain teams now and get a result. You know, like, there was an element in the past where Ireland felt that no matter who they played, they get a result or could at least try and get a result. He said he felt that Ireland appeared to be intimidated.
Well, I think maybe the 5-1 played into it, given it is Denmark. Maybe if you take that result out of it.
It seems, though, that what he was alluding to was that this is a wider thing that's gradually seeped into the team over the last year or two. And, like, in fairness to Mick McCarthy, he's right to be saying that, like, I have 10 points in mind and I'm happy that we've got the 10 points. But if we're looking at performances, I don't really think an awful lot has changed in comparison to a year ago.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of wanted to bring up in terms of the reaction. I mean, it's obviously it's too early to be having a go at McCarthy, and it will be completely off the wall and kind of wrong to do that.
Yeah.
But the football itself hasn't actually really changed markedly. I know we're talking, like, there was always this talk that maybe McCarthy would bring a more progressive sense, but I don't even remember from the time when he was manager between 96 and 2002 that our football was sparkling most of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
We're looking at it through rose-tinted glasses a bit. Like, I think we just had better players and therefore played better.
Sure, look, you know yourself, international football these days is based upon the fact that get yourself reorganized and hope that you have one or two excellent players who can make something happen. And like, if you look at Ireland's triumphs under McCarthy, I mean, most of it was down to players like being excellent at the back and keeping games tight, but then relying on the likes of Damien Duff or Robbie Keane to make something exciting happen. And even like Jason McAteer, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. The issue he has now is that we don't have any players like that anymore.
Yeah. I think, you know, the Hammond comments were quite interesting because he's obviously trying to strike that note of, I'm not from round here. I'm trying to give you a little bit more perspective on what I actually saw without being kind of rose-tinted on things. And I think it's interesting because the Friday night result did strike me as quite a good one and quite a positive performance. But at the same time, he felt that he was seeing fairly agricultural football, and I can kind of see it from that sense too. Just in terms of that, you know, the changes or lack thereof, I think there's a couple of things that you can kind of lay at McCarthy's door, and one of them isn't the fact that you know, they haven't had much time on the training pitch. But Ireland are suffering from a problem that Scotland have at the same time, with their two best players being in the same position. And I know it's, you know, we've kind of gone around the houses with the Doherty-Coleman debate over the past few months or so, but there has to be a way that they can actually function the same in the same side. The fact that McCarthy did buy Doherty as a left back, I know it was some time ago, and of course there's, you know, everything that goes with that, but it does feel that this is a side that cannot be having a player of his quality on the bench.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I just don't know where, like, obviously he can play left back, but it's not his natural position, so I can kind of, and I know McCarthy did experiment throwing him on the right wing ahead of Coleman. That didn't quite work, although that might have been something maybe more to do with the pitch.
I realise I'm putting this across with kind of no specific plan in mind, and Stephen Kelly, to be fair, did come on off the ball during the week and say that, you know, Doherty and Coleman actually make the same runs, which is perhaps more of an innate thing that you can't actually drum out of them. But I just feel that if particularly Ender Stevens there on last night, and, you know, the last time that I've seen him, is not especially impressive, and, you know, as a young player, that you don't expect him to be the finished product. But I do feel that someone like Doherty does have the adaptability to play there, and that adds an element of balance that perhaps wouldn't be there otherwise.
No, we do have 10 points from a possible 12, although we have played Gibraltar twice in that run as well. But I just wanted to switch it quickly. Obviously, we're just doing a quick recording here, but the Nations League, obviously, it seems the reaction to it has been good. Obviously, Portugal went and beat a tired Netherlands on Sunday, and England are winning penalty shootouts now all the time, and they beat Switzerland by that method as well. What have you thought of it so far?
Now I see why I've been invited in. I understand. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was, it's been a good revamp to a fairly tired international kind of friendly, you know, setup. The Netherlands-England game, I thought England were pretty poor. I thought the Dutch showed a great deal of kind of invention, which England lacked. And then obviously there's the natural post-mortem of never play it out from the back. Hoof it up to a big man. That came from that. But, you know, I think that's obviously nonsense. The final, I thought, was really, really interesting. I thought it was a great game.
It just, like, I know the Dutch have made vast improvements in terms of results. The only thing is they don't have any attacking talent worthy of the name in comparison to the England have better attacking talent, even though, again, I know they lost to the Dutch. Portugal have obviously given Ronaldo plays for them, and they've the likes of Bernardo Silva, far better going forwards. The Dutch, great back line, great players there, or at least in the centre half positions, and then Frankie de Jong. But outside of that, they're still quite ordinary.
Yeah, like, I mean, they are, but, well, to a certain extent, Raph, I think they're definitely a team to watch, you know, for Euro 2020. I mean, I'm really of the opinion all you need in international football to have a good chance of doing well in a competition is having 2-3 really, like, latter stages Champions League type players. And then if you have, a lot of, average to good players, you'd be fine. I mean, Netherlands have, the good players they do have are leading lights in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, it's granted that they're central defenders, but it makes all the difference.
Yeah, they could do with another kind of, like, say Van Persie or somebody was like 7 years younger, or Robin, or, you know, Schneider. That's a perfect kind of generation coming together, but they just seem to be kind of in between a couple of schools. Obviously, they have made improvements, and that has to be
emphasized. Look where they were, and now all of a sudden they've got a few world class players coming through. But I think overall, if you look at the standard in European football, once you go past France, a lot of teams I think are on a par. You know, like, England were beaten by the Netherlands. I would have said England are a good team, but then, like, you've got the Netherlands same level. Germany don't really know what they're like. Spain are recalled Santi Cazorla, which is great for him, but would tell you a lot about the standard of the Spanish squad. Portugal, a lot of their success is still down to Ronaldo, and obviously they've Bernardo Silva as well. So I just think that, yeah, there's still, like, France have a team that you could argue, if you had that at a club level, you'd have a world-class Champions League challenging team, and then everybody else has good teams. Like, even if you look at Ireland against Denmark, I mean, Denmark have this kind of arrogance towards Ireland, whereas I just go, Denmark have an awful lot of average players, same as Ireland, but they have Christian Eriksen, say.
They've one really good player.
Exactly.
Yeah,
good player.
I wasn't that offended by what the Danes were saying. It wasn't like they were completely wrong about our style of play. I think
I think the Irish team took great offence to it.
Oh, yeah, and used it to great effect, I'm sure, to pick up a draw. Like,
we do tend to draw a lot with them.
Yeah, no, we've actually, other than the 5-1, that was just an aberration, but the rest of it has actually been just nil-nils
and
1-1s.
If that 5-1 was an actual qualifier match where you were getting a point for a draw, that game would have finished 2-3-1, and that would have been about it, because Ireland wouldn't have gone all gung-ho the way they did.
No, and maybe that's a lesson, let's not attack, even against Gibraltar and the like. But generally, your points on England as well. I think, obviously Kane, Sterling, etc., they have decent talent. Stones will learn, obviously, but the one thing they're missing seems to be, like, that midfield controller. They've never had that.
Yeah, it was interesting. Steve Holland was talking after the game. The assistant manager was saying that they were very disappointed that Harry Winks didn't actually make the squad because of, well, injury, lack of fitness, whatever you want to call it. But they really think that he's going to be the kind of player that can take on the half turn and start linking the play a little bit more. I also think, it would be great to see Phil Foden a little bit more in the side. Unfortunately, the Southgate's kind of wedded himself to the fact that the players need to be playing for their clubs before they can do that. So it'd be kind of odd to see him sort of turning out in a national shirt just to sort of get himself into the club side. But that'd be really interesting. And yeah, on Stones, I think, you know, it was quickly tempered, this idea that, you know, you have to, you know, get rid or whatever. But it was just a particular kind of dilly-dallying there, which will, you know, you do it once, you don't do it again. But generally, like, you know, it's an interesting time to support England. Like, it's been a really enjoyable tournament, and the fact that you can win a penalty shootout
there's something wrong in the world at the moment, and it's a clear sign that we're approaching end times or
it's
something if England
axis.
Are winning penalty shootouts. Joe, I think you were about to make a point.
About England?
Yes.
Oh yeah, well, no, I'm just saying that England are trying to play very positive football. They're probably one of the few international teams in Europe that are really trying to play positive football. I mean, if you look at France, and I'm just basing this on the World Cup, France won the World Cup playing pretty negative football, despite the players they have. But I think the problem for England trying to play positive football is that you don't have enough training time together to implement the type of game they want to play. Whereas you don't need lots of training to be defensively organised.
No, no. And that's what we can pin our hopes on our road to Euro 2020, assuming we get there, and hopefully do get there, given we have games there. But anyway, I think that sums us up for the live part of this week's show. Coming up now, we're going to be playing a little bit from the Serie A strikers chat we did a while back. So that was myself, Ronan Mullen, Colin Boohig and Jonathan Higgins. Joe Coffey, thanks for taking the call.
Brad, pleasure as always.
And Kieran Bradley, thanks for coming in and talking England and actually Ireland mostly.
Thanks, Mel.